Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've seen Joe Biden at the rally that he had in North Carolina. Joe Biden has made a commitment to stay in the race, to be at the next debate, and to win North Carolina. He's got it figured out.
I'm glad that he is. If he wasn't, yeah. If he today said he was dropping out, I think we'd be in much worse spirits.
There's so much to say about the debate, and I talked about it a little bit in the first segment, and so I kind of got that out. We'll probably talk more about it here throughout the course of the show, but I did say that at 105 I'd open the phone lines. So if you want to give us a call, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go through the phone calls as they come in. I'm going to give you your opportunity to say your assessment of the debate last night, what happens next, wherever you want to take it. You get like a minute to do that, and then I'm going to try to plow through and get through as many possible calls as I can. 314-241-9797. Give us a call, and you can let us know what you think, and we will interact with what you say throughout the course of these phone calls. Who called in here first here? Let's go with John. John, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Did you watch the debate? If you did, what did you think?
Yeah, thanks for taking calls. I really love it when people do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm a Biden supporter, but he did get blown out by Trump. Biden looked awful to me, and it's a shame. I don't think he'll make the next debate. That's sorry to say. What I want to point out, since I don't like Trump at all, is that one more thing. I know I got like about 40 seconds left. Biden was on Howard Stern and had a very normal interview a month ago for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He looked totally normal. Did you see that? He was totally normal.
That's where he said that he would debate Trump. That's where this whole thing kind of spawned from.
It was a beautiful interview, and he only stumbled on two words the whole time. Okay, now, Trump, though, according to PolitiFacts, I think they're fair. I don't know if you do. Trump lied 16 times and Biden once. New York Times,
what was the Biden lie?
There's a whole list of them. Oh, I don't know, but he did. No, I'm just saying, I wrote down how many lies, that's all. And I do got other information, but I don't got time.
Okay,
16 lies for Trump, one for Biden. New York Times, 20 lies for Trump, one for Biden. Mm-hmm. And CNN does, however, a little more fair, I guess. I don't know. CNN, 30 lies for Trump and 9 for Biden. Mm-hmm. But do you think these people are reporting accurately? I do. But what do you think about all those lies from Trump? Do you think they're making them up? Or do you think they're really lies that could be researched and proven to be lies?
John, thank you for the phone call. I think it's an interesting question. I haven't seen anybody articulate to me the point-by-point lies of Donald Trump. Mm-mm.
So I read the CNN fact check this morning.
On Trump.
On both of them.
Well, I haven't seen the specifics articulated the way I've seen CNN's Joe Biden fact check. So why don't you give us the Trump one, and we'll start with CNN,
some
Joe
of them,
Biden
he said,
one.
He's the only president in a while who didn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world. Troops have, of course, died on his watch. He said he's put in a $15 per shot cap on insulin and Medicare. It's a $35 a month cap. He said it's a $200 cap on overall drug spending in Medicare. It's $2,000 a year. He said the border now has fewer crossings than when Trump was in office. That's generally not true. He said, or at least strongly suggested, unemployment was at 15% when he took off. It was actually 6.4. He said Trump wants to get rid of Social Security. Trump doesn't. He said billionaires pay 8.2% in taxes. It's much higher. He said Trump told Americans to inject bleach amid COVID. We know Trump made foolish comments about scientists studying disinfectant injection, but didn't frame it as advice to people. And Biden said the Border Patrol endorsed him. No, its union supported the border bill he supported, never endorsed him himself.
It's weird to even fact check a fact checker who's fact checking things that took place last night, but even the disinfectant thing, they're fact-checking Joe Biden's claims last night that he was talking about injecting bleach, which Joe Biden was like the first thing that he said when we tuned into it where he was in his North Carolina rally. But even the whole disinfectant thing, Donald Trump was talking about something that could possibly be done that would like disinfect your body from COVID. He was not saying go get the Clorox. He never was. It's very useful to the people on the left to suggest otherwise. The CNN fact check of Donald Trump here, since I don't have the sound of that, right? Just the Biden one. I'll read through it here. I don't have any problem reading through that. Trump made more than 30 false claims at the Thursday debate. They included numerous claims that CNN and others have already debunked during the current presidential campaign or prior. Trump's repeated falsehoods included his assertions that some Democrat-led states allow babies to be executed after birth. What Donald Trump said last night was that when you listen to what happened in Virginia, which is why Glenn Youngkin there is the governor, Northam said that if a baby that was supposed to be aborted was born alive, that they would let the baby sit there while the parent and the doctor made a decision on what to do. That's murder. Find me a person who's going to justify that type of behavior. I can point one out to you. It's the former governor of Virginia who said those words, that every legal scholar and everybody in general wanted Roe v. Wade overturned. He was saying that what everybody was saying is that they wanted it to be handled at the state level, not at the federal level, and that what Roe v. Wade was at the Supreme Court was legislation, and it was out of the bounds of the Supreme Court to do such a thing. And constitutionally, that is true. That there were no terror attacks during his presidency. What terror attacks were there during his presidency?
They would have been very small.
So that might be a lie on technicality, which I'm right. sure some of the things listed for Joe Biden were lies on technicality, but the spirit of what was being said was still valuable on both sides of the aisle. That Iran didn't fund terror groups during his presidency, that the U.S. had provided more aid to Ukraine than Europe has, that Biden for years referred to black people as super predators. He did refer to them as that. And if the fact check here is that Biden didn't do it for years, just real quick question for the Democrats. How long can you refer to black people as super predators and it's okay? I don't know, because I'm not a Democrat. And that Biden is planning to quadruple people's taxes. Then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi turned down 10,000 National Guard troops for the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Play the freaking tape.
Yeah, that is absolutely a fact.
That Americans don't pay the cost of his tariffs on China and other countries. I mean, that's an economically debatable point. So you could fact check that if you want, again, on technicality, that Europe accepts no American cars and that he is the president who got the Veterans Choice Program through Congress. What Donald Trump did with the Veterans Program is he dramatically expanded what Obama had put into place to make it more beneficial for veterans. And the last one, that fraud marred the results of the 2020 election. There's nothing here that makes me go, Donald Trump is intentionally trying to deceive the American people. I think they're all contextually, or there are technicalities around those where I could see where the left would say, no, that's not true. And the right could say, no, that's not true.
Exactly. A lot of this stuff is Trump bravado that they go, well, he said, but it's actually like if we were to say everybody knows that Corinne Jean-Pierre is one of the worst press secretaries. Well, you could say, well, factually, that's not true because some people don't even know she's a press secretary. It's that kind of stuff that you go, that's what you're saying he's lying about. Like Europe accepts no American cars. Wait, Europe probably does accept some American cars. But if you're talking about the balance of who's accepting more, his point remains valid. It's that kind of stuff that he speaks in generalizations that you can go, well, fact check.
The biggest, most offensive lie that Joe Biden told last night is that he didn't have any troops. Like, what an arrogant, a-hole thing to say. That was the pinpoint moment where I knew that Joe Biden is not with it at all, because that is political suicide. To forget the people who, under your service as commander-in-chief, died under your watch because of your policies. St. Louis, Jared Schmitz, one of them. All right, let's get back to the phone calls here. Paul, thanks for calling the Annie Frye Show. Last night's debate, did you watch it? What'd you think?
Unfortunately, I didn't watch it because I'm blind, but I did listen to it.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm angry. I'm very angry. The Democrats had 7 days to prep this man. And that's the best product they could put out. There's only one group that's very happy with Joe Biden's performance last night, and that's our enemies.
Yeah.
It is my firm belief that before the election, Taiwan will be attacked by China.
Paul, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm glad that you were able to listen to the debate and take it in. And it is very important to remember that while we're sitting here and watching this from like a political red versus blue, R versus D standpoint, that the world got to see it. And the world has to be asking themselves right now, what's the status of the United States? How cohesive is the United States government? Who's in charge? It'd be very sensible to ask those types of questions. Gary, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What'd you think about the debate last night?
Well, I watched about 20 to 30 minutes of it, and I've been pressing for this format for a long time. I loved the way everything seemed to go. I like more control. I don't like to see bickering. So I was impressed with the format. And the moderators, I was kind of even impressed with them. So
I give you
all in all.
I completely agree, Gary. Thank you for the phone call. I think that the entire setup for the debate was A+. And there weren't any moments where I felt like the network or the moderators took over the center stage for what we were supposed to be watching and experiencing. I think Gary makes a really good point here. Vicky, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What'd you think about the debate last night?
Similar to what you said, I really thought the format was good. I thought, I really felt like Donald Trump was very composed compared to the previous debates, and he controlled himself. He didn't do insults, and I thought he was fairly professional, which, yeah, you know, I thought was good points. The setup was good too. And basically I do think that Biden was saved from the moderators, who were very monotone and very neutral. They appeared for that. That was all plus. But I did watch the other news media shows to kind of hear what they were saying afterwards. And like I said, the Morning Joe show this morning had a guy on there, and he just very quickly went through like 20 different lies that Trump said. Mm-hmm. And some I just thought were really, it's kind of debatable whether those were true lies. Like one might have said $2 billion. He said $200 billion was contributed to, mm-hmm, Ukraine. And then they said it was 210 or something. I don't know. I think sometimes there was like a little nuance. So they count some of those things as lies. Yeah. They said they had testimony proving that of the sexual assault and all that stuff. Not that I'm here to defend Donald Trump, because I'm not here to morally defend him. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, I just don't like how unfair he's been treated.
Yeah. Vicky, well said. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And I think that the thing that Vicky's talking about there with the technicalities of the fact checks, I'm not defending if that specific instance that she gave is a specific one that was actually, or she was just kind of, you know, saying in a roundabout way, this is what they're like. I'm not here to like argue with the fact checkers. I know. Well, I'm pretty plugged in, so I'm pretty aware of what's going on. And when I hear Joe Biden say that he didn't lose anybody, no troops in his presidency, I just want to be like, get off of the stage now. Go home. Don't come back. That was terrible to see, and he should be ashamed of himself. Joyce, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What'd you think of the debate?
I thought that the CNN, I had no idea who those people were. I thought they did good. They did good. I was surprised because all I heard was bad stuff about them. I am a supporter of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I hear from him and his family a lot, and just letters and things. And Donald Trump sent me a text yesterday, I guess on his way to the debate, he said. And that's all. And he wanted to know what I thought about his vice president. Who do you think should be the vice president? That's what he said. So I just gave him my thoughts. Three people that I had, Ben Carson and Arnold Donald. I get the name really crisp.
Byron Donalds.
Up.
Yeah.
Byron. I get it all. Yeah. I think I even messed it up when I typed it, and I hate the text. And, the third person, who did I tell him? But I can't remember now. There were three, but I have heard from them, the family. I don't know why. I send them information. Yeah. And I have in my hand what I got from this one's from Pat Boone, and I was given to be Missouri's responder for Social Security, what I thought of it.
Joyce, you know, Biden. I think that the VP pick is something that is, it's going to be another huge moment in this journey that we have till November. And who they pick, I almost think that maybe they're waiting till after this debate happened to see how Joe Biden managed, because they might want to go one way or the other, depending on how Joe Biden actually delivered in the debate. Thank you for calling, Joyce. I appreciate it. We are all familiar with those Donald Trump texts. Kind of wish he would stop. Ken, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Real quick, what'd you think of the debate last night?
Well, actually, I was pleasantly surprised by how well the moderators did. I was pretty much embarrassed and sad to see how Joe Biden did. And I'm really concerned that if he does get elected, he's not going to finish the term. And then we got to worry about the VP stepping up. That's going to be horrible. The only thing I wished about Trump is that I wish he would have answered the questions. He tended to go off on his tangents about the other things. And I think if he had answered those questions, he might have got more people on his side.
Ken, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I think that I've heard several people say they wish he would have gone in more on his answers. He spent his time when he was being asked a direct question defending against some absurd things that Joe Biden was saying about him. And that's what a debate is. A debate is you discuss or argue topics, and there wasn't as much of a debate format for this because there were muting of mics, which I appreciated. I liked it. So I think that what appeared in some cases for him to be dodging questions was him reacting, using his time to react to things, wild things that Joe Biden had asserted about him. Last call, Al, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What'd you think of the debate?
Well, for one, I was surprised with the moderators. They actually didn't do what I thought they were going to do. And I was very sad for Joe Biden, because that's elder abuse, what they're doing to him, putting him up there like that. And I wish Trump would have, answered more of the questions. I'm a Trump supporter, but, but the only, on his defense, the only way he can get that stuff out there that Joe has did to him is on a platform like this, to where actually the mainstream media is actually going to put this out there for people to hear. So he had to do what he had to do.
Al, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I mean, nobody there's saying anything that this seems to be the pretty broad understanding of what took place last night.
Which means that there is a narrative that America's waking up to this morning that wasn't there yesterday. And everybody kind of agrees that what we saw was what we should have been seeing for the last 6 months, maybe longer.
It's what we have been seeing.
Yes.
In an uncontrolled environment.
Exactly.
Because they couldn't manage it.
Right.
I agree, too. And you hear a lot of people saying this in these phone calls, and I've heard it and read it, too, that people feel bad for Joe Biden. They're sad for him. And I'm going to be honest and say that I don't think those people who feel that way for Joe Biden feel it as much for Joe Biden as I'm assuming that they have somebody in their life who they've watched go through this.
Yeah.
And they know what it's like to endorse a loved one in that type of capacity. And it is sad. When we come back, we're going to speak with John Roderick. Excited to have John Roderick. He's the owner of Jerry's Cafeteria. It's in Grand City, Illinois. And they have been struggling a bit. And we're going to talk to him about where those struggles come from. And we're going to see what we can do to rally the Annie Fry Show audience to help them out a little bit. Stick around. I'd love to have you be a part of this conversation as well. And then in the 2 o'clock hour, we are going to grade the debate. So stick around for that. John Roderick, when we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's been a busy day so far. Of course, last night, wild debate night. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. We had Joe DeVito in with us, who is a regular on the Gutfeld Show. He's a comedian, and he has shows tonight and tomorrow night at the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles. Make sure you get your tickets before they're gone. Two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow night, 7:30 and 9:30 tonight, 7 and 9 Saturday. Tickets at stlfunnybone.com. We're doing something now that, Brad, we don't traditionally do things like this, and maybe we should. But I got tipped off to a diner in Granite City, Illinois. People started sending me this video that was done by John Roderick, who's the owner of Jerry's Cafeteria. You can go to jerryscafeteria.com and learn more about what we're going to talk about here. But John, you put this video out on Facebook, maybe some other socials, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I do Facebook and Instagram both.
Facebook and Instagram. And I've heard such great things about Jerry's Cafeteria, people raving about your food and the experience there.
Thank you.
But you, it's not an unheard of story right now, are dealing with the effects of the economy, of, I guess, maybe the steel mill might have something to do with.
A little bit. I think it's a lot of COVID hangover still.
So talk to me about Jerry's. You're not Jerry.
My dad was Jerry.
Your dad. So this is a family business.
Family business. Actually, I'm third generation in the restaurant industry in Granite City.
So what kind of restaurant is this?
It's cafeteria. We're super old school. It's not like the restaurants where you walk in and you're greeted with a hostess. You have a walk down the hall. You grab your tray, just like
cafeteria.
Mrs. Hullings back in the day. I actually did work for Pope's Cafeteria back in the day, if you remember those. But yeah, we make your plate for you right in front of you.
Did you grow up in this restaurant?
Absolutely. Well, so my dad opened Jerry's in 1986. Mm-hmm. My grandparents got into the tavern business in 1945, which eventually evolved into a cafeteria, a much smaller place at the other end of town. Dad opened up the bigger place. 1986, we're downtown, and offered catering as well with it.
So do you do catering now, too?
We do.
So you're in Granite City. There are parts of Granite City that have been really invested in lately.
Downtown,
working to grow Granite
the
City.
District.
So talk to me about the direction Granite City has been headed lately.
Well, we have, as of, I think, 3 years ago, a new mayor. Granite City had a depressed section, and that's where I'm located, downtown. We have a new leadership in our town as of 3 years ago that's just really pushing new business, new families moving in, trying to get the area built back up to what it used to be.
So, but the steel mill has been a staple.
Steel mill's a staple. Yeah, absolutely.
What's happened there?
We don't know. Nobody knows. I talk to many people who come in from that work for the mill at different levels, and everybody's in limbo, constant limbo. Don't know if it's going to get sold or if it's going to even be open in, 6 months.
And that, I mean, I would think that, how close are you to the mill?
Their office building is, our parking lot's adjoined. Now, I'm from the actual steelmaking plant about two blocks.
I always think about, you hear about U.S. Steel bought by Japan, and I know lots of people in my life, because I'm a Madison County girl in Illinois, and Ryan, you're a Madison County girl, too.
Saw that coming a mile away.
It's 2024.
Yeah, you can do what you want.
Still did a duck.
Brad, I mean...
Thank you, John.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are going to be best friends. But Brad's in St. Clair County. We're all on the Illinois side of the river, and you see something like the steel mill. Oh, they're firing up another furnace.
Right.
And that's not just like a job. That's not as simple as just a job for one person.
No.
The ripple effect of that type of commerce is massive in the area. And so is the converse
of it. It's not just the mill that produces the steel. It's all the little ancillary processors, the picklers, the Heitman, pre-coat metals, the people that coat the steels, that cut the steels. Form it into what it's ultimately going to be, not to mention the truck drivers and rails that this is all shipped out on.
Yeah. So if that business starts to die down, if they turn off a furnace, that just really affects the neighborhood.
It affects the uncertainty of the economy in our general area. These jobs, are they going to be there? And, even if they idle the plant for, I don't know, 2 weeks. I think they have an idle coming up in August. I just heard that where they're going to idle the plant for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But, is it going to be 1 week or is it going to be 1 month, or do these guys come back to work?
So you have your diner there. I would assume that you probably have served a steel worker from a time or two.
One or two.
You're a generational, locally owned and operated business. You put a video out on Facebook. What did you say in that video that's really gotten a lot of attention?
It's got
my attention.
tremendous amount of attention. The economy over the last year-ish has just kind of been sluggish, and our business had fallen off. I still believed in what we do. We're from scratch type place. I don't buy a lot of processed foods. And so I really believed in what we were doing. And I'm thinking, why is our business going down and down and down? I mean, the regulars that I was seeing, you know, the workers, the blue collar guys mm-hmm. that are out driving the white vans around that used to eat in my place three times a week. Now I see them once a week.
And they're still there.
And I talk to them. I know yeah. them. I know probably 50% of my customers on a first name basis.
What makes them go from three times a week to one time a week?
They can't afford to eat three times a week, eat out, dine out. So they're bringing their lunch with them. Mm. You know, they're getting a ham sandwich. You know, they're stopping by the gas station and getting the 99-cent, you know, cold wrap and
yeah,
just trying to make do with
you know
that.
What? And that's such a double-edged sword because there's the money that goes into their pocket and their ability to afford all of the things that you need to afford in any given week or month or paycheck period. That you, when you cut back on things, you do cut back on eating out.
Right.
But there's also your costs. Have you experienced inflation in the products that you have to buy to serve people at
absolutely.
The cafeteria?
And it's a little volatile right now because you never know what's going up at one point in time. And then there's still some availability issues. We struggle with getting some product occasionally still. So when you do, you may be looking at two or three of your suppliers and who's got it. And they're, $4 or $5 a case more, but I need the product. I'm without product, I have nothing to sell.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to, you can't be as choosy and always search the best deal.
So you put out this, I mean, it was, you basically said in your video, my recollection is, listen, times are hard for everybody and you're feeling it at the cafeteria. And I remember you saying like, you're putting this out there because you mentioned the fact that It's at least a thought that's on the table that you might not be able to continue this
right.
business.
It was very real. I mean, I was looking, you look at the bank account. I know what payroll is going to be this, from week to week. I know about what's coming in on a regular basis. And you do the math.
Yeah.
And it either works or it doesn't. And I am not going to ask my employees to work for free. That's not fair to anybody. So, You start making hard choices and the choice was kind of just actually spoken with my accountant and he's like, I don't know. We weren't really sure how much longer
yeah.
we could hold out at the rate we're going. And, he mentioned that actually the Dandy Inn up in Fairview. I don't know if you remember that mm-hmm. when they went out and they made it a yep. similar post and, saw tremendous results for a short time. But, so, he suggested I do the same and maybe we can, rekindle a fire. And, it certainly happened. We're seeing a good increase in foot traffic. And the other part of our business, which is catering, July's not the hottest month for catering. I mean,
it's just the hottest month.
It's just the hottest month. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
People are on vacation.
What kind of events do you cater?
Weddings are our big thing, but we do, we'll do corporate, we do funerals. I mean, actually funerals is a fairly good business for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a what we call bulk food. So we can come out and do a wedding, serve the full buffet, or if you have a graduation party and you just want to grab some, fried chicken and twice baked potatoes, which is two of the things we're kind of famous for, roll up to the back door, we drop it in your trunk and you're gone.
We're speaking with John Roderick. He's the owner of Jerry's Cafeteria. They are located in Granite City. And he put out a video on social media and he was talking about some of the struggles they're facing. And, when you and I talked a little bit, you were saying, it's not just location or steel mill or whatever.
No.
It is the inflation
right.
that is affecting people. And you said, if you used to come and you haven't been around for a while, why don't you come back one time
yeah,
or whatever?
My personal invitation.
So you're open Tuesday through Sunday, and it's 11 to 7, except for Sundays
except
is 11
Sunday.
To 4.
Exactly.
So what I would like to do is I'd like to come right after the show gets over on Tuesday, and I can commit to being there from 3:30 to 5, but I never eat. I have the weirdest eating schedule because this show is from noon to 3.
Mine is the same way. I eat
like
when people work.
Yes, exactly.
I work when people eat.
So what I'm going to do is commit to having lunch or dinner. Depends on if I get to eat again that night. But I'm going to come to Jerry's Cafeteria on Tuesday directly from the show here. And I'm asking listeners to come hang out with me and have a meal. And I don't get anything out of this. And I just saw this. People sent me this is. The reason why I did this is because Jerry or John, people sent me this video and they're good people who I know. and they know you and they know Jerry's cafeteria, and they're like, you should check this out. So I'm going on the trust that I have of those good people who believe that you and what you're doing is good and worthwhile. And I think that this is a story that people relate to.
We've been a part of the community. Our family's been a very big part of the community for, like I said, for almost 80 years now. My sister's the city clerk here in town, and the mayor was Mayor Mike Parkinson. He and I were good friends growing up. His dad and my dad grew up together. So we've been a part of this community. When the fundraisers come around, man, I mean, it's, you know, I feel like I have an open checkbook for these people.
Yeah.
But right now it's, help filling that checkbook back up.
Let's turn it around. So I'm going to come see you guys on Tuesday. And for anybody who wants to come have lunch with me or dinner, or we can call it whatever you want, I'm going to have a meal at Jerry's Cafeteria at 3:30. I'll be there till at least 5. Son has a baseball game at 6. If it's raining, I'll be more flexible. That's literally my life. It varies based on the weather. But I'd like to come see you guys. And I want to encourage other people to come to Jerry's Cafeteria in Granite City. If you can't come when I'm going to be there, find a time to go say hi. Tell him you heard about him on the Annie Fry Show. If you know Jerry, I mean, people, do you have desserts?
I brought some desserts with me.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay, because
yes.
Amanda says when you go, make sure you get their amazing desserts. Like, people are listing all of the amazing things about Jerry's, and I'm just going to have to come very hungry on Tuesday, which I probably will be anyway. So let's just have an Annie Fry Show meetup and go to Jerry's Cafeteria on Tuesday. And, you know, I would also encourage you to consider those other local places in your area, wherever you're listening. John, I would imagine you probably had a conversation or two with other people in the industry. You're not the only one who's dealing with this.
No, we text and call. I mean, I know pretty much all the business owners in town, restaurant owners anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, you know, and we eat local. I support local, even if it's outside of the Granite City area. My wife and I always try to eat in independent restaurants, but
it makes a difference.
Yeah, we went to the Mexican restaurant on the other side of town last Saturday night, and we were one of 9 customers in there.
Yeah,
and that's not, you know, that guy's, he's not going to make payroll.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to, and I'm not, mm-hmm. I won't name names because I don't want to speak out of turn or anything, but, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat right now. If I can be the spokesperson for everybody in a town, that would be great.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I need my business to grow, we all need to grow.
Yeah.
You know, we all need one another, because what I fear is if I'm probably the bigger restaurant in Granite City volume wise, I'm just the biggest one to go, you know, and when one goes, they're all going to go.
Let's make Tuesday a good day for Jerry's Cafeteria. If you can't be there from 3:30 to 5 when I'm there, please come have dinner. Stop by Jerry's sometime this weekend, and let's infuse Jerry's Cafeteria with some eat local support. I mean, I think it's a really big deal. I know, Ryan, you know a lot of business owners and stuff in the area, and they probably have a lot of similar stories.
Yeah, I just had dinner in Granite City a couple nights ago at a new Mexican restaurant. Right, legion new to me. I don't know how long they've been around.
Which one is that?
Tacos El Manny.
I've not tried his food yet. Now all I hear is great things about him.
It was very good. So yeah, I mean, Granite City, a lot of family still there.
Yeah, he's actually my grandfather's restaurant was about 2 blocks from where Tacos El Manny is.
Okay.
Yep.
Jerry'sCafeteria.com. John, thank you for coming in. Thank you
for
sharing
me.
Your story. It's really an important story to share with people, and I'm glad you're willing to speak out on it and talk about the challenges so that we can help you meet a solution.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. John Roderick, the owner of Jerry's Cafeteria in Granite City, Illinois. I'll be there Tuesday from 3:30 to 5. Will you? I'd love to see you there. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Quantity eaters. I think, Brad, you've said that you are.
I am.
Did you say quantity eater?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be careful.
I like the way you said that with, like, zero reservation.
Yeah.
Some people are quality eaters. Some people are quantity eaters.
I am both.
I am a quality eater. Yeah, I'll eat a lot, and I'll eat a lot of good food regardless.
The cheese right off those potatoes.
It's just weirding me out because you're standing in not a normal spot, and then, oh, now when you're eating.
You're talking, and you're so close.
Go back over there. We're all okay. The problem with having food.
You come over here to try to agitate me, and I say, "Get away from me."
Yeah, it's like that.
I assume.
This is hard because whenever we have delicious food sitting here,
I just took one bite of these mashed potatoes, and that's all I ever need to eat.
Part of talking on the radio is that you can't have food in your mouth, and
When did you finally learn that lesson?
I learned it on this show, I think.
Yeah, probably. I was like, stop eating.
Yeah, eating or chewing ice or something.
I told you you can't
do that right now.
Molly, who's freshly three, if anybody says anything with some food in their mouth, she quickly goes, don't talk with your mouth full. I've said it a few times to her.
It's amazing how many people in the chat either have been to Jerry's or they know about Jerry's.
Jerry'sCafeteria.com. I'm going to go Tuesday from 3:30 to 5. I'm going to leave straight from here. You guys should come.
I'm in.
Tuesday. Yeah. Well, let me look at the calendar. But as long as I don't have to go to a game or something,
sacrifice some post show stuff to go to Jerry's.
We'll just make post show stuff.
Or do
at
it.
Jerry's.
Do it at Jerry's while we eat these mashed potatoes. Why am I talking on the air and not eating that? And I'm gonna. You guys, listen. It's your job now. I'm gonna take a bite of mac and cheese. Take it from here.
All right, Brad.
Oh, so good. Oh my god.
You know what's weird is when I host, I have no problem doing that. But when you're here, I'm like, well, what do I do now?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because like last night at the debate, you guys are like, all right, Brad, you need to get that stream up and going. And I'm like, I turn it on and Ryan's making an announcement. Annie's finishing up the radio broadcast.
Brad,
and it's just me.
Just you. Yep.
And Fred Bottomer came over and gave me a hand.
Yeah, I looked up and I said this on the air on the live broadcast on 97.1. Yeah. I go, Reardon, Fred Bottomer and Brad Range are back there on my YouTube channel. Doing a show.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on?
You know what's really funny about that? They had both of their cameras in and they were looking at each other in real life, the way you would, but their cameras were opposite. So they were both looking off screen.
That's because they weren't producing. They were
the talent.
Yeah.
They're always talented. The very best. But there wasn't somebody else. That's how you know that it takes more than one person to do the thing.
Yeah, it takes a village.
Ryan just wanders around at events like this waiting for some. He's always ready to help, but you do have to ask him.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Or he's just eating food.
But yeah, when you ask him to help, you have to tell him to put his food down.
How I pass the time in between helping.
But last night you forgot to eat, which I was like amazed. Ryan was very busy and very helpful last night, so he did a really excellent job last night.
Let me tell you the truth. I did not forget to eat. I ordered and then forgot where I was sitting, and I think they put the food somewhere where I didn't know where it was.
Ethan's in for food. Okay, listen. You guys know that I'm not a chicken or I'm not a meat on the bone girl. So I didn't eat the fried chicken, but I could just sit there and smell that box of chicken until forever.
If I cut the meat for you, you would eat it?
Absolutely not.
Actually, the only reason that I'm in right now is because hearing you guys tell Wiggins how good of a job he did last night at the debate, all I can think of is Jill Biden talking about how great
you
Joe Biden
with
did
all
in the
tasks,
debate.
Ryan.
You did so good. And everyone else
literally
did nothing.
Brad, he stayed to the end this time.
He did. And he helped me pack up and he helped me carry stuff out to my truck.
Yeah, he left
when we
did.
This is ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
Is our out time 156?
It's
'cause you're long if so.
No. No, Brad is on his job. If you check the private chat, you'd see it says 5850.
Oh, no, I don't have that. I don't have the ability to do that.
You definitely have it.
You expect me to do multiple things at once. You just got done telling me.
See, where
I'm
you're
bad
wrong
at that.
Is that I expect you to do multiple things at once.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it exists if you wanted to participate.
Well, I think last night went really well, and I think you're right. It was probably because I pitched in.
It was the cherry on top. We've got cherry pie over there and chocolate cream pie or something like that.
You got dibs on anything?
Oh, there's a coconut cream pie.
Oh, you got dibs. Okay.
I took it.
Okay.
If anybody else wants some of that, I'll consider it. But that's the pie for me, coconut cream pie.
Because the cherry looks good.
I'm eyeing the chocolate one.
Okay. I just want a bite.
Yeah. I don't want a whole
only
piece.
Only if you guys feed each other with wrapped around arms.
I mean, if it's good enough pie.
Yeah, how's the pie, Fruity Boys?
We'll do that, and then we'll also drive away in one car with a bunch of cans tied to it. Like, leaving work. The back will just say, leaving work.
Now, is this all going to happen after the show, or is this just happening in hour three?
I don't know, but Ethan, I think you can handle if you jump in here just tell us more jokes like that about how much we are like Jill Biden congratulating Ryan for just completing the...
You know what?
Being upright for the time required to complete the
job.
Stick
around because our interview with John Roderick. We're going to replay that at 2 so we can just eat.
See? Now you're using your brain.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Ask us anything in the 2 o'clock hour. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We'll be right back.
Quantity eaters?
I think, Brad, you've said that you are.
I am.
Did you say quantity eater?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be careful.
I like the way you said that with, like, zero reservation.
Yeah.
Some people are quality eaters. Some people are quantity eaters.
I am both.
I am a quality eater. Yeah, I'll eat a lot. And I'll eat a lot of good food regardless.
The cheese right off those potatoes.
It's just weirding me out because you're standing in not a normal spot. And then, oh, now when you're eating.
You're talking and you're so close.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Go back over there. We're all, okay, the problem with having food.
You come over here to try to agitate me and I say get away from me?
Yeah. It's like that?
I assume.
This is hard because whenever we have delicious food sitting here.
I just took one bite of these mashed potatoes. And that's all I ever need to eat.
Part of talking on the radio is that you can't have food in your mouth. And now we have to stare at it.
When did you finally learn that lesson?
I learned it on this show, I think.
Yeah, probably. I was like, stop eating.
Yeah, eating or chewing ice or something.
I've told
you
that.
You can't do that right now.
Molly, who's freshly 3, if anybody says anything with some food in their mouth, she quickly goes, don't talk with your mouth full.
Oh.
I've said it a few times to her.
It's amazing how many people in the chat either have been to Jerry's or they know about Jerry's.
Jerry'sCafeteria.com. I'm going to go Tuesday from 3:30 to 5. I'm going to leave straight from here. You guys should come.
I'm in.
Tuesday. Yeah. Well, let me look at the calendar. But as long as I don't have to
we
go to a game or something,
sacrifice some post show stuff to go to Jerry's.
We'll just make post show stuff.
Or
Jerry's.
Do it at Jerry's while we eat these mashed potatoes. Why am I talking on the air and not eating that? And you guys, listen, it's your job now. I'm going to take a bite of mac and cheese. Take it from here.
All right, Brad.
Oh, so good. Oh, my God.
You know what's weird is when I host, I have no problem doing that. But when you're here, I'm like, well, what do I do now?
It's funny that you mentioned that because, like, last night at the debate, you guys are like, all right, Brad, you need to get that stream up and going. And I'm like, I turn it on, and Ryan's making an announcement. Annie's finishing up the radio broadcast.
You, Brad.
And
it's just me.
Just you. Yep.
And Fred Bottomer came over and gave me a hand.
Yeah, I looked up and I said this on the air on the live broadcast on 97.1. Yeah. I go, Reardon, Fred Bottomer and Brad Range are back there on my YouTube channel. Doing a show.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on?
You know what's really funny about that? They had both of their cameras in and they were looking at each other in real life, the way you would, but their cameras were opposite. So they were both looking off screen.
That's because they weren't producing. They were
the talent.
Yeah.
They're always talented. The very best. But there wasn't somebody else. That's how you know that it takes more than one person to do the thing.
Yeah, it takes a village.
Ryan just wanders around at events like this waiting for some. He's always ready to help, but you do have to ask him.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Or he's just eating food.
But yeah, when you ask him to help, you have to tell him to put his food down.
How I pass the time in between helping.
But last night you forgot to eat, which I was like amazed. Ryan was very busy and very helpful last night, so he did a really excellent job last night.
Let me tell you the truth. I did not forget to eat. I ordered and then forgot where I was sitting, and I think they put the food somewhere I didn't know where it was.
Ethan's in for food. Okay, listen. You guys know that I'm not a chicken or I'm not a meat on the bone girl, so I didn't eat the fried chicken, but I could just sit there and smell that box of chicken until forever.
If I cut the meat for you, you would eat it?
Absolutely not.
Actually, the only reason that I'm in right now is because hearing you guys tell Wiggins how good of a job he did last night at the debate, all I can think of is Jill Biden talking about how great
you
Joe Biden
with
did
all
in the
tasks,
debate.
Ryan.
You did so good. And everyone
he
else
even, literally,
did
he,
nothing.
Brad, he stayed to the end this time.
He did. And
the
he helped me pack
time.
Up and he helped me carry stuff out to my truck.
Yeah, he
this
left
is
when
ridiculous.
We did.
Is our,
it's not ridiculous.
Is our out time 156?
It's
because you're long if so.
No, Brad is on his job. If you check the private chat, you'd see it says 58:50.
Oh, no, I don't have that. I don't have the ability to do that.
You definitely have it.
You expect me to do multiple things at once. You just got done telling me.
See, where
I'm
you're
bad
wrong is that I expect you to do multiple things at once. Yeah. I'm just saying that it exists if you wanted to participate.
Well, I think last night went really well, and I think you're right. It was probably because I pitched in.
It was the cherry on top. We've got cherry pie over there and chocolate cream pie or something like that.
You got dibs on anything?
Oh, there's a coconut cream pie.
Oh, you got dibs. Okay.
I took it.
Okay.
If anybody else wants some of that, I'll consider it. But that's the pie for me, coconut cream pie.
Because the cherry looks good.
I'm eyeing the chocolate one.
Okay, I just want a bite.
Yeah, I don't want a whole piece.
Only if you guys feed each
it.
Other with wrapped around arms.
I mean, if it's good enough pie.
Yeah, how's the pie, Fruity Boys?
We'll do that. And then we'll also drive away in one car with a bunch of cans tied to it. Like, leaving work. The back will just say leaving work.
Now, is this all going to happen? Is this all going to happen after the show, or is this just happening in hour three?
Well, I don't know, but Ethan, I think you can handle if you jump in here and just tell us more jokes like that about how much we are like Jill Biden congratulating Ryan for just completing the
you know what?
Being upright for the time required to complete the job.
Stick around because our interview with John Roderick, we're going to replay that at 2 so we just eat.
See, now you're using your brain.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Ask us anything in the 2 o'clock hour. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We'll be right back.